It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. A look at the growing marijuana industry in Alaska. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And now, The Buzz.
Welcome, everybody, to The Buzz. I'm Joe Hatchie, one of your co-hosts. And to my left is my brother, Sam Hatchie.
Great intro, brother. I love that. Thank you kindly. We have a special guest in our studio today. It is Chief Ragor. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
I'm doing quite well. Yeah. So you're the fire chief of the city of Fairbanks. How you doing? How long have you been in that position, sir?
Oh, fire chief. I've been there since April, so just past my 6 months. But right, I've been with the city of Fairbanks for 27 years.
Wow, 27 years. Yeah. Did you start as like an EMS or a ladderman, or what are some of the slang terms for?
You're just basically a recruit firefighter.
Yeah.
You know, you come in and you're sort of on, you know, that everybody guy. You're the utility infielder. You're on the ambulance. You're on the fire engine. You're thrown on the truck.
Cool.
And then
wherever they need you.
Wherever they need you.
Yeah. What got you into a fire service in the first place?
Oh, weird story. I actually went to school to be in the maritime industry, working on oil tankers, and my fiance, who's still my wife at the time, I was gone for 9 months of my first year graduating college, and she said, new fiance or new job? And I've been in Fairbanks for 27 years with her.
the right decision.
The right decision.
Well, that's great. So for all the people out there in Radio Land that aren't really too familiar, it's something that I learned now. You want to tell a little bit about the structure of the city of Fairbanks and their fire department, the EMS, and you had mentioned that there are other subsidiaries?
Yeah. Within the borough, we have two municipalities, so the city of Fairbanks, the city of North Pole, and then they have municipal fire departments. And then all fire services run both fire and EMS, so fires and ambulances.
Okay.
And then outside of those two city limits, we have six volunteer combination departments, which are nonprofit corporations that work under the umbrella of the borough.
Okay.
So there's actually, six fire departments within the area, and then that does include the two military bases that also have their own fire departments.
Oh.
So.
Where do those volunteer fire departments, where do they get their funding? You mentioned they're non-for-profits. Do they pull it from the state and then they...
No, it comes from your property tax. So there's a mill levy for the fire districts. So just like your road service area, there are fire service areas. They collect their revenue through that and then... do their budgets based on what their voters in each little district approved.
Well, that's wicked. How many people do you think are in the entire borough employed in the fire service or the EMS?
Oh, I'd say, there's probably 200. We have 50. North Pole has 10. University has 30. Yeah, there's 200 to 250 of various between full-time combination. Then there's the volunteers who just, you know, come and help out. And then there's also some good programs that some of the departments are running scholarship programs. So kids come up, they stay with the department, they get training with the department, and then they're going to the University of Alaska and getting their tuition paid for as part of the exchange.
Yeah, that's a great program. Yep. Is that new or has that been around for a minute?
Oh, 5 years maybe.
Yeah. And just for people out there, if they're interested in something like that, was that through the UAF or was that through the
It's through the individual department. So if you live on Stee's side of town, you would contact Stee's Fire Department or Chena Goldstream on that side of town and look at the opportunities that they have there for...
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So as far as like getting the community involved, tis the season. Is there any fun programs or food drives or anything that the community can get involved with at the City of Fairbanks Fire Department?
The one big one we help with the Thanksgiving there and the turkeys that we just handed out the other day. That's our big one.
How many turkeys did you guys hand out?
Ooh, I want to say it was almost 2,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy the amount of food assistance that the food bank gives out in the end. And so, and then we help out with, shop with the cops sometimes and stuff like that.
Yeah, just learn about that program too. That's kind of fun, the shop with the cops. Yeah. Excellent. Do you have any fire safety tips for this type of year?
Oh, I think the two biggest standard ones are, one, if you have a real Christmas tree, make sure you water it. Don't let your dog drink the water because those become a huge fire hazard. And then I think we all remember Christmas Vacation and the Griswolds and the outlet plugged in with the 7,000. There's a reason for surge protectors, and don't overload them. So those are probably the two biggest Christmas-related items out there. Too many lights plugged into one outlet.
That's funny. So, with the fire department, And you want to break that down a little bit with us? Like, so if somebody does plug in a Griswold outlet service and burns down their dry tree because their dog ate and drank all the water, yeah. How many people would normally come out to your house to help assist you?
So for a structure fire, we have a standard response of 4 engines, a platform, and then an ambulance. So, but for us, the city of Fairbanks, we only have 2 engines, so we require mutual aid, and that's where the other departments come in.
Okay.
So any working fire in the city of Fairbanks gets 2 engines from the city of Fairbanks, a university engine, and a Fort Wainwright engine, and there's 3 people on each of those. And so 16 is the standard for a residential house fire, and then it gets bigger from there.
Yeah. What was it? Do you know the biggest structure fire in the past recent history? I'm just curious.
Oh, here in the area? There was that warehouse fire off of Van Horn a couple summers ago, the pipe one. That was a pretty big warehouse. And then the old Munson's Hotel. That was. That's a big building.
It got fire twice.
Revenue wire, tax base. I don't know how big the value of the building is, but that's a big building.
Yeah. is Fairbanks pretty prone to fires, or people pretty safe out here?
I think we're pretty good. In that we talk about, you know, what I call a working fire, which is what you guys would think of, big flames and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're a very young town when you think about it. You know, we're pipeline era. So, we were talking about sprinklers earlier. Most buildings in this town have sprinklers just because we're post-pipeline. Where you go back to the East Coast, and those buildings don't have sprinklers from 100 years ago. So when we have fires, they tend to stay smaller because of sprinklers.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's so
good.
That's a bonus. But we still have probably statistically the same amount of fires for our city our size.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFARradio.com.
So, love you, brother.
Yeah. I got a hard job over here.
So, we mentioned a little bit off air about the incoming fire departments coming from out of state. When you see where does the city and or the borough get involved when you start seeing forest fires? When they start encroaching into towns, or like, explain the process a little bit.
When you think about it, the big aspect for us is wildland urban interface. So that mixture of houses, you know, you see the big fires in California with all the houses there. And that's what we're starting to get within the borough. You know, the borough's a fairly big area.
Mm-hmm.
So the big wildland areas, when you think of Harding Lake area, Chena Hot Springs, and that's where we start to see a lot of problems with the houses that are, you know, people are moving farther and farther out of town, and more houses there. So
like, if there was a fire that came out at Harding Lake, would they be dispatched from Eielson, or where did the fire department come from?
So State Forestry would respond first.
Oh, really?
And then there's also Salcha Fire Department down there. They would respond, and then, how fast fires will blow up around here with the wind blowing, and then it's just start dispatching each of the departments. In the borough, there's a mutual aid agreement that we would go help. And then outside the borough, so you think TOC and stuff like that, then forestry contracts with fire departments to come help.
That's nuts.
Yeah, we don't have the resources up here, and that's where you see all the California firefighters. So our fire season starts very early, before California and Oregon. So they all come up here, work the beginning, and then late July, August, September, all of our firefighters go down there. They're wildland firefighters, the state forestry guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting. What do you guys have? Any new programs or new services that are coming on right now? Community involvement, or?
Well, we're sort of, you know, just trying to maintain right now. You know, our call volume increases 7% every year.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, and what's weird is the population doesn't necessarily increase, but we're calling, we see more calls for emergency service, and statistically 80% of it's on the EMS side.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really becoming, and emergency services in general is becoming the front line of healthcare. You know, as people can't afford healthcare and have issues like that, or just I have a headache, I'm going to call an ambulance. And
So when should people call the emergency services 911?
Well, it's when you truly have an emergency. I mean, and you know, that's a hard one. Everybody's definition of an emergency is a lot different depending on who you are.
Yeah.
But, you know, when in doubt, you call 911, it goes through the emergency communication center, and they'll process it appropriately. And then based on the severity of it, they'll dispatch, you know, maybe one ambulance, maybe an ambulance and an engine, you know, depending on how serious the call is. So, but, you know, when in doubt, if you have a health question, you call the emergency services. And then,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad they take you to the hospital and give you a Band-Aid, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, maybe just take some aspirin. But
thanks for calling anyway.
Yep.
Did you drink any water today?
Yeah.
How many weed brownies did you eat?
We got a couple funny stories on that.
I'm dying. No, you're not dying.
We had at the one of the hotels in town, one of the ladies ate too many cookies that were left there that said, I can't take these on the plane. Oh. And she was a staff there, and it was an interesting call.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
She had no idea what was wrong with her.
I'm sweating and cold and happy.
She ate all the cookies. Oh,
she probably had a stomach ache just from all the sugar.
No, probably, you know? Yes.
I don't smash with edibles. We have a guy that we work with that, you know, he's got his own little six plants, and he makes these brownies. And, I mean, it's enough. Like, one of his brownies, I mean, they're like 2 inches by 2 inches, these tiny little brownies. But they would tranquilize an elephant. You know, I had like a half of one, and I was like, waited like 45 minutes. It's like, all right, I'm a little stoned, you know. And then I had the other half. And I woke up like 4 hours later, like kind of sweaty, really confused. You know, stumbled to the bathroom. I think I had to use it, but I didn't really know. Like, ugh. Yeah, start low, go slow.
Yep, be careful out there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, do you have any winter driving tips for here in Fairbanks? So, you know, if you run off the road, should people be calling 911 or should they call?
First, you know? Just slow down. Yeah. Like, it was crazy this morning. Like, with all the snow, the fresh light snow, and people just still doing 70 miles an hour on the Johansson. So, just slow down when you can't see. But, you know, it's. You know, depending on if you're not injured, you know, a tow truck's probably the best option. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if there's an injury or you've had a collision with another, you definitely have to call dispatch because PD has to come out and do an accident report and stuff like that. But if you just go off the ditch and you're not hurt, call a tow truck.
Call a tow truck. Mm-hmm. Heard that. But, So I was at city council the other day, and are you guys trying to get 3 ambulances running full time now, or what's your current staff?
So we currently staff 2 full time ambulances, and our call volume, again, increasing every year. We just can't keep up with the calls, so we're having a problem with stat calls. So basically, you call 911, and we like, well, we have no ambulance for you right now. Mm. We're averaging about 30 of those a month at a 23-minute wait time. So, you know, for the headache, that's okay. For the, you know, I chopped off my finger, you may want to get there more than 23 minutes. So we're working on increasing our staffing to put a part-time ambulance that would do other things at the same time in service.
Okay. Yeah, would they just be like part-time firefighters or dedicated EMS guys?
Oh, no, they'd be full-time. Firefighters, they would what we call cross staffing, you know, our ladder truck, which is the one with the big white stick on top that can reach the tall buildings. They would, on structure fires, they would jump on that, and then on EMS calls they'd have dual roles.
Okay. So explain a little bit about the certifications and qualifications. So, like, if somebody was interested and wanted to get involved with the fire department, like, where would they start?
The best place, you know, when you start the process is go to the area you live in and start volunteering, because that's where you get the experience. Mm-hmm. And they put you through, you know, your firefighter 1, your firefighter 2, and get that in your EMT, and you get those basic certifications and start getting the experience.
Okay.
You know, in the medical world, it's EMTs and then paramedics. And the university has a great paramedic program going right now. And, you know, that's sort of the key to get the job right now is being a paramedic, because they're hard. There's a lot of burnout. You can only see, you know, so many gruesome things, and then you want to go to a new job. So, you know, if you're looking at Seattle, Anchorage, us, the Pacific Northwest, you know, you have a paramedic license, and that's the key. I can make you a firefighter. The paramedic school. I can teach you to break things and spray water. The schooling to be a paramedic is a key ticket.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFARradio.com.
The Buzz will return on KFAR Radio right after this word from our sponsors.
Great deals all week at the Tin and Aw Herb Company. Munchy Mondays with 15% off all edibles. Trainwreck Tuesdays get you $20 six-pack boxes. Don't miss Thirsty Thursdays, 100 milligram hash-aid drinks for just $20. Funky Friday with Bongo half off. How about Shatter Saturdays? Gets you 20% off Frogman and Choice Extracts. Sunday Funday, you'll find Old Deli strains for just $10 a gram. Only at the Tin and Aw Herb Company's all-new retail store. From cultivation to manufacturing to retail. All under one giant 50,000 square foot roof. That's Tin and Aw Herb Company. Open 7 days a week off Wells Street. License number 14467. Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or heavy machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
We now return to The Buzz on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back. You're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFRRadio.com. I'm Joe Hatchie. I'm sitting next to Sam Hatchie.
Hey, thanks, brother. Chief Rigor from the city of Fairbanks Fire Department. So right before break, we were talking about paramedics and EMTs and just kind of the steps through the program. When people want to start off the EMT service and then maybe they go to UAF to get paramedic firefighters, like we explain that a little bit more and kind of how people can progress through their career and where they go. And
yeah, when you think about it on the EMS side of it, you know, EMT-1 is 120, 150 hours of schooling, take a class, and then you go through your steps, EMT-2, EMT-3, you know, another 100, I'm rounding, 100 hours, 100 hours.
Okay.
And then the big step is to paramedic, and that's thousands of hours.
Oh.
And, you know, the big difference is, you know, in an EMT-3, they can treat your injury where a paramedic understands, you know, not like a gunshot wound, but a medical diagnosis and can start to do preventive stuff to help you out before you get to the hospital. So in that schooling, they learn why something's happening, where an EMT's I can stop it from getting worse as we get to the hospital.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as a firefighter, everybody has to have like certain level of EMTs or a paramedic, or like when does that, how does that work through the whole system?
Yeah, so for us at the city of Fairbanks, we require to be a minimum of EMT-1. I'm guessing there are some places out there that can you can be an ETT, which is a step below or nothing. But for us, you got to be an EMT-1 so that everybody has some sort of medical training. We can do CPR, defibrillation with an AED, and initial BLS care.
Cool. And what's the average age of firefighters here in Fairbanks?
Ooh, it's super young now. gosh, it has dropped for some lots of different reasons, but gosh, I guess we're probably mid-20s is our average age right
now.
Where when I started, the average age was probably the high 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of that has to do with the state retirement system.
Yeah, people just want to retire and get out of it, and then just more people coming in? Or
No, in 2006, they changed the state retirement system where from a benefit to a defined contribution. So we're just losing people. We get these people, so they go to the university, they get their experience there, they come to us, they get a couple years with the career department, and then the Pacific Northwest has higher pay and benefits, so they go where that is. So,
nobody wants to move down there, though,
right? When you're paying bills and starting to raise a family, things like that come into play.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads me to a question of, like, how long is the average tenure here in City of Fairbanks for firefighters and EMS guys? 3 to 5 years.
Sometimes at the high end.
Really?
Where it used to be when I started, it was a 20-year career.
Yeah.
And now we're having a lot of problems keeping people past that 3 to 5 year range. We have a hard time right now in our officers because we've lost so many people. We're having a hard time having people qualified to promote, where we have a lot of good people. But when you've only been on the job 3 years, it's hard putting you into in that right seat as captain to make life and death decisions on going into a burning building when you're, you know, 19, 21.
Pretty green.
Yeah. when you don't even know how to balance a checkbook.
What's a checkbook?
Well, thank you. Exactly.
I have an app that tells me how much money I don't have.
Exactly.
That's funny. So let's circle it a little bit to cannabis and the legalization of cannabis. Mm-hmm. How's that affected you guys at all? Is it interesting to see some rehab of the buildings that have been kind of derelict for a while, or do you see a positive or a negative impact into the society?
Well, it's helped us when we talked about this a little bit with the tax revenue. Mm-hmm. It's provided a windfall for the city to be able to fund emergency services and stuff like that. And then it really doesn't affect us on a daily basis. It doesn't have the effect. I'm going to say it doesn't have the effect of heroin or some of those other problems. There are some problems out there, but in general, it doesn't. We don't end up going on a lot of calls based on it. But we talked about earlier about the redoing some of the buildings in town, and that's economic development is a good thing.
Yeah, for everybody involved. Yeah. I think. Yeah, killer. So, did you ever think you were going to be, in the position you were at 27 years ago when you started? Was this your ramp path? You wanted to be the chief?
No. I probably thought I was retiring 6 months ago, and then the other chief left, and I think it was when everybody stands in line and everybody steps back, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Why am I the only one up here?
I didn't draw any straws, man.
Exactly. So, no, I quite enjoy it, but it's probably not something I thought I was going to be at this point.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFARradio.com.
Chief Ragor from the City of Fairbanks, Fire Department. So are you in more of like an admin role now, or do you go out on calls, or how does your job look?
Oh, I live behind a computer.
Yeah.
And I'll get out on the bigger calls and stuff like that, but my day is spent on computers and meetings. Which was a hard transition from 27 years of shift work to being 9 to 5. So, a good story is, when I was on shift, my wife would always eat cereal for dinner. Well, now that I'm home every night, she'll be like, it's cereal night. And I'll be like, no, it's not. And we'll have a little confrontation over what's for dinner. So
she likes cereal.
Yes. A 9 to 5, I've never worked a 9 to 5 job before. And it's a transition after you do it for shift work for almost 30 years.
Yeah. Joe and I feel your pain. We, when we started Tanana, before we started Tanana, we work weird hours and work all different kinds of jobs. And as our company got bigger, like I am kind of segregated into my office now, just writing emails and talking to people. Yeah.
Don't talk to anybody.
Doing the business.
Thanks, John.
The business side of it.
Yeah, the business side of it, just figuring it all out. So is there any new technologies you guys are looking at moving forward into the future? Foams that you can use on...
Fire service loves gadgets. you look at from radios to communication, our radios Bluetooth and talk to cell phones and...
Cool.
And then protective gear and stuff like that. There's always new technologies out there. And you would think there's not a way to make a new flashlight, but...
There is?
Oh, yeah. I get lots of ads on new high-tech flashlights.
Here is a free sample.
Yes. So.
This penetrates the light. It doesn't reflect the smoke.
Yes. Fire service likes gadgets. But so there's always technologies. And then on the EMS side, there's, technology that is super helping. From when I started, it was basically, load the person in the ambulance, get the hospital as fast as possible. Now we're looking at bringing ultrasounds.
Really?
To the ambulance, which, back in the day was this giant machine that you basically, for pregnant ladies, look at the heartbeat of a fetal heartbeat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, now out in the field, we can look at your heart, a person, you know, having chest pain, look at their heart through an ultrasound, because now they're just shrunk in technology and size-wise so much that we can start doing different things and different care that... So,
well, that's very interesting. So if somebody called with some chest pain thinking they're having a heart attack, you can go out there and kind of pre-diagnose them if you're
we'd look at in the past, you'd have an EKG and you would get some good guesses and say, hey, there's a block here or this is what you're doing. But now and I'm not big on the EMS side of it, with ultrasound technology, we can pinpoint a whole lot more and, you know, call the hospital and then say, hey, this is what's happening. And then they can be prepped for going to the cath lab or something right off the bat.
So, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have pegged you for like a Jaws of Life kind of guy, you know.
Being no,
a,
yeah. No, I'm
cut the tops of cars and peel them back like a pop can.
I'm all fireside.
Have you ever had to use that big ladder truck around here and really kind of go to the very top of it? And
We do it. So it goes, we'll put it up for big fires. So like if a house is fully involved or a warehouse is fully involved, because it will spray the most amount of water. So basically it's put it up and rain down on the building. But then for life safety issues, you know, the building, you know, the Northward building and stuff like that, it'll reach the top of that.
No kidding. Yeah. That's crazy. What are the PSIs that come out of those fire hoses? Like when you say can put out the most, I'm just curious.
Oh, random question.
I know. I'm just curious about, like, you say it puts out the most amount of water, and I'm just trying to envision, we work with water all the time, and I'm like, how much water are we talking about here, Chief Rhaegar?
Oh, so a hand line, so one little hose that a guy's, you know, we're talking 200 gallons per minute to the the platform that's 2,000 gallons a minute.
2,000 gallons a minute?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, we can spray a lot of water.
Hold on tight.
Yeah.
Don't even hold those ones.
No, not that one. But, yeah, so the hand line, you know, we'll put at 150. Well, initial pressure, 150. We want 100 PSI at the nozzle.
Okay.
A lot of the time. So that's 2 to 3 people to hold it.
And not get
knocked over in the ice and everything else.
Yeah, I've seen one of those videos. It was like a hazing where they just let the hose go, and then you had like a fire recruit had to go grab it.
Yeah, that's the way to get your teeth knocked out.
or hang it from something and try to ride it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, so... Yep.
I can't say whether we've ever done that or not.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Fire Chief Rhaegar and Recruit Firefighter Rhaegar are two different worlds. 30 years apart.
Nice. That's funny. So a little bit more about the tech. So you have your fire engine, and you see a fire hydrant on the street. That comes out normal city pressure at like 60, 100 PSI kind of thing?
We're at right at 90.
90?
The count,
And then they ramps up through the engine?
Yep.
And that's just, so that's essentially just a moving compressor?
It's a giant centrifugal pump in the end. So, so it comes in at 90 roughly, and then we'll spin, you know, the centrifugal pump spins, and then we'll put it out about 200.
No kidding. You know, that's crazy. Well, we're out of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? Couple minutes left.
Well, appreciate your time today. Do you have any parting comments for the people out in Fairbanks? Maybe something a little, you know, be safe. Don't overplug things. Water your tree.
The big things we've talked about, and I'm just gonna leave it with, you know, as we go into all these holiday parties, be smart about your partying. Don't not party, but just be smart about it.
I hear that. Cool. And don't call 911 if you can't drive home. Call a cab.
Yep.
not the ambulance.
Nope.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And happy holidays. Thanks, everybody out in Radio Land. You guys have been listening to The Buzz, and we'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at kfarradio.com. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company on Well Street. License number 14467. To listen back to this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the KFAR website. This has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active and KFAR Radio.